This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Patsy with a Z. Welcome to Joy on Paper, a program for writers and those who dream of writing, and for everyone who wants to know the story behind the book, coming to you from glorious Clearwater, Florida, the perfect place for writers to write and readers to enjoy a good book. It is also the perfect place for people who want to save energy by going solar, and I am so happy to welcome to Joy on Paper as somebody who's going to tell us all about solar energy and where you can save it. And it's really wonderful to have you here, Ryan Grover. Tell us about the company you work for and about the wonderful, wonderful world of solar energy.
Hey, Patsy. First off, it's a pleasure. Thank you so very much. The company I work for is called Efficient Home Services. It's a St. Pete-based company, 10 years plus. Okay, and we are, you know, a dedicated group with a team of professionals that you know, the solar industry is a booming industry right now. We're the number one rated solar company here in the state of Florida, A plus in the Better Business Bureau, 4.88 out of 5-star rating with Google. You know, it's
Well, you have a great reputation,
yes, that's
so important. Now, I've told my listeners over the past year, I have a cousin in California, and I love to talk to the guy. I mean, he's full of stories about the family, and I'm trying to collect old stories about the family. But I used to have to go through like a half an hour of him complaining about his bills because it was a combination of his water bills and his electric bills. And you know, in California, both are very high.
Yes, ma'am.
And I was like, okay, all right, I'm listening to your complaint. Tell me something interesting. And then he got solar energy. He got solar panels. And he was like a different person. I'm telling you, it changed his life because he had always been so nervous with the costs and growing costs. And now it's even worse. So about 18 months ago, he got solar panels. And he is the happiest. I mean, he just loves it. So, you know, that really does make a difference.
Absolutely. It makes a huge difference. You know, a lot of people are tired of seeing their electric bill. You know, the prices, costs of energy are raising, their electric bill going up in every single month. They never know what to expect. And what solar does is it comes in, we fix your cost of your energy. You can own your energy, control the cost. You know, and it makes a lot of sense to a lot of people. It absolutely does. We save you some money. And it also, you know, helps make the world a little safer place.
That's true. You know, because here, well, in Florida, we are paying for 3 nuclear power stations that are never going to be built.
Absolutely.
And we're going to be paying that premium forever, I think, you know.
Yes, ma'am.
You know, so it's so important, and with things happening, with the cost of gasoline and oil going up so high, the prices of electricity are only going to go higher.
Duke and TECO just raised their rates, 16% and 18%.
I know.
Okay, and it keeps on going up.
It keeps going.
So, yeah, that's one of the huge advantages with us.
So exactly how does it work? Because living in a condo, I've never had the pleasure of even seeing solar panels go up. So what's the process for your company? So if somebody's interested, they call you up and where does it go from there?
Yes, ma'am. If somebody's interested, you call us up. You invite us out to your home. We have a group of trained professionals, both in the field and in the back offices, who are dedicated. We show up to your house. First thing we do is we come in and we listen to the client. We listen to the client to try to, you know, let them explain what it is that they're looking for, what they're trying to gain from their solar experience. You know, some people are looking to save money on their solar bill. Other people look for the luxury of, you know, battery backup and so on, with living in Florida and storms and so on, you know,
of course. Oh, absolutely. I know that. We lost, when we had that last big hurricane, we were the one of the last places to get our electricity back.
Yes,
and
ma'am.
So we went for over a week without electricity. It was horrible.
Now imagine this. There's people who need their power, you know, older folks who have medicines and need medicines in the refrigerator and machines and so on. So, you know, the battery is an option. It's a luxury for some. It's a necessity for others. So what we come in and we listen to the client, give their idea of what they're looking for. And then we do a energy audit, okay? An energy audit is we check your appliances. We go through your house and check your appliances because a lot of people don't necessarily understand where their power bill really comes from and their cost is going up and so on. They might have older appliances that are using more electricity. So we do that energy audit, take a walk around the house, and then we just design a system based on your electric bill, based on the kilowatt hours that you're using, design a perfect system for your home. And then if you decide to go with us, you know, it's a process that takes anywhere from 30 to 60 days. We do all of the permitting for you. We do all of the HOA, all of the headache work that, you know, most people want nothing to do with.
Oh, yeah, you can imagine. Yeah, I know that.
Yeah, you can imagine that. All of that headache work, we have our own permitting department. We don't subcontract our work out, okay? Everything's done in-house, which allows our turnaround time and our install time to be faster than any other company out there. That's the process.
Can you put solar panels on every type of roof, or are there certain types of roofs that just don't?
There's certain types of roofs that aren't designed for solar. Absolutely. You know, in mobile homes, certain mobile homes with the tires on them. So for that, we have ground mounts. We have options for everybody, but not every single roof is really designed for solar. The clay tile roofs. You know, the clay tiles break easily.
Uh-huh.
So that
creates a problem. But
yes, ma'am.
But you check the roof that it's strong enough.
We come out there, we check the roof.
You have an engineer who does that kind of thing.
Yes, ma'am.
That's one of the big concerns always is, you know. Now, I don't know how heavy solar panels are, but you have to be careful that the roof can take it, right?
Absolutely. We have engineers out there and, again, trained professionals that get up there and do all the measurements and make sure that your roof is capable, you know, for taking the solar panels. Absolutely. That's all set up by us.
Yeah, that it has the right structure. And
100%. Yeah. Yes, ma'am. It's all part of the process.
Okay.
Yeah.
So that's you know, exciting for somebody to make that decision. So when they make that decision, then from the time they make the decision, you mentioned something like 60 days. What's the process? You come to the house, there's preparation work that has to be done?
Yeah, there's permitting departments. Yeah, there's permitting that has to be done with the counties and so on. Then the engineers come out there and so on, absolutely. And then we get our install team out there, okay? The install usually takes a day, you know, just racking the system and putting the panels on your roof. It takes about a day to do. Once we get all the permits done and the engineering and so on figured out, yeah.
Well, then what, I mean, how exactly does that, I've not dealt with solar panels, so I should have listened more to my cousin. I must say, I tune out a little bit when he gets real technical, but the energy goes into the solar panels and it goes somewhere. What happens?
It gets converted through the inverters. Okay, we direct current from the sun gets converted to AC. Okay, and that's what powers your home. Okay,
but is it your particular solar panels that work for your house alone, or is there the in between system?
No, there's the panels that work on your roof. Okay. Power your home.
Yes, it powers your home.
Yes, ma'am.
It's not connected to the grid.
Well, it's definitely connected to the grid.
So
yes, you stay connected to the grid.
So you stay connected to the grid.
Yes, ma'am.
And like I had heard that, like, you can have excess
You can have excess power, excess energy through net metering. Okay.
Yeah.
What it does is the sunlight, while your home is getting the most sunlight and your panels are really producing the most power, is normally when most people are working. Okay, so your meter is running backwards. When you're producing more power than you're actually using, your meter runs backwards, okay? And it stores your energy, stores that power in the grid for when you come home and there's no more sunlight, okay? And your home needs to produce the energy. It takes the energy that you've stored and runs your home.
It sounds almost too good to be true.
It's a concept.
It really is a brilliant concept when you think about it.
It definitely is. And you know, the whole time, if I could take your $200 electric bill that keeps on going up, okay?
Oh, I wish it was $200.
You know, and for zero cost out of your pocket. And that's the best part about this.
Yeah, explain that.
For zero cost out of your pocket, okay, we can put a solar system on your roof, okay? And, you know, cut your energy costs significantly, okay? And you instead of paying that electric bill every month, okay, you have your solar cost.
Huh.
Okay, yeah. So if I could take your $200 electric bill, okay, and cut it almost and make it $125 a month.
Sounds good. Sounds good.
All in the meantime, making the world a healthier and safer place.
So the people behind the company, tell me a little bit about them, because I think that's so important when you're going to hire a company and with all the stories you hear about bad subcontractors and people getting, you know, landing up and having to sue somebody because the work is shoddy, the work is bad. Why is your company, why is it so good?
That's a great question. And the people behind the scenes, you know, what separates EHS from our competitors, you know, our ownership, okay, and our leadership. We're owned by a gentleman whose name is Sean Henry, okay? Sean is truly one of the people that make this world a better place. You know, the way he runs his company, just the character of the gentleman, okay? Sean has a nonprofit, okay, organization, Project Kids Lives Matter. With all that was going on with the children trafficking and so on, the gentleman's co-founder of Project Kids Lives Matter.
Wow.
Okay, truly, you know, out for the better cause. A partner with Johns Hopkins All Children's Hospital. Okay, we have a wing in our name, a Fish and Home Services wing, in the Johns Hopkins All Children's Hospital. Just to tell you a little about the character of the ownership.
Oh, wow, okay? This is fantastic.
I mean, yeah, definitely. You know, our leaders, Mr. Steve Plathy, okay, he's our National Director of Sales, Mr. Dazio, Natasha in the back. The leadership that we have is top-notch. We're all, you know, our company's core values, again, is what separate us more than anything and separate us from our competitors, because all of us, okay, are you know, held to a responsibility of representing the EHS name, you know, to the fullest and for what it is.
So when you tell people, go EHS.
I mean, go EHS.
Go EHS.
Yeah.
And you're proud to say that because
absolutely.
Because there are great people behind the product.
There's great people behind the product, and it's real. And you know, we do things the right way. Again, our company's core values, commitment, excellence, teamwork, integrity, loyalty, responsibility. Those are the things we stand for, and that's how we do our everyday work. Everybody from the gentlemen like myself or the people like myself who go to the houses and the homes and get to meet the people, to the people in the back office who don't get enough credit, you know, who are making the welcome calls and doing all the permitting and so on. You know, we're all held responsible for representing the EHS brand and name, and by you know, our customer service is second to none, and that's one thing that we pride ourselves greatly on.
Yeah. Well, I'm so, as I said to you when you first came in, I'm so grateful to Steve Plathy, because this is exactly what I'm trying to do, always to do good, to do something good. And one of the things, I'm so happy that you mentioned the hospital, because I encourage, I have quite a few authors who write children's books, and I always tell people, when you know, if you don't have a child in your life, go onto Amazon and order the books and have them sent to a hospital.
Yes, ma'am.
Because this is something that is so easy to do, and nowadays, particularly in in a hospital, when the children, there were books for children, they could share them. They might, you know, go from bed to bed, you know. Nowadays, the books, a child can only have one book. They cannot share it with somebody else because of what's happening in the world. And so the hospitals actually are very short of books. And they so appreciate. And Johns Hopkins Children's Hospital, the work they do with children is incredible.
Yes,
they are wonderful, wonderful people. And if you are... you know, can do it, just, you know, a children's book can be, you know, cost as little as $5. And you go in there and you find a children's book and order it and send it to the hospital. This is just a wonderful thing to do. So I'm so happy to hear about his caring about hospitals.
It shows you about the character.
Exactly.
You know, shows you about the character behind him and behind his company and behind everybody who really represents EHS, because he's on top of us, I'm telling you. It's like a boot camp type. The good boot camp, you know?
Oh, yeah.
You know?
Well, there's nothing better than that.
There's nothing better than working for somebody who cares, okay? And you know, EHS is like a family. It's you know, not only the employees are customers as well. When you become a customer or a client of ours, you're treated like part of the family. And you know, it's a 25-year commitment. So you better do your research on the company you're dealing with. You know, I had just a quick note. I had a customer reach out to me, and they asked me by text. Okay, they got one of these door hangers that I left for you. But they got one of them. They called me up and they said, Ryan, you know, we put our solar panels on our roof 3 years ago. The company's out of business. The solar panels aren't working. Can you help us? Okay, so you want to do your research when you decide to go solar. Okay, and that's one thing that EHS, again, the credibility of in our company, we've been around for over 10 years. A+ Better Business Bureau, 4.88 out of 5 Google star rating, with over 470 customer reviews. You know, the proof is in the pudding.
Exactly.
Any question?
And you must have...
Yes, sir.
I had a question, Patsy, for him. You're talking about, I wanted you to maybe discuss the evolution of solar panels. People might looked at that 10, 20 years ago. These were big clunky things that didn't produce a whole lot of electricity. The technology today and the slimline of the new panels that are out there.
You know, the technology today is incredible. 2021, you know, the look, if you look at the design of the panels on your roof, right now we're using Silfab panels, 360 mm-hmm. watt Silfab panels. The good thing about Silfab is the really, it's designed and built in the United States, in North America, excuse mm-hmm. me. We keep our work in North America. The panels are not big and bulky like they used to be. You know, it's a slimmer design that really it looks good on the
I saw
on the roofs.
A DIY
a nice design.
Channel a guy in Hawaii was going completely off the grid, and he had a metal roof, and in the spaces in between the metal, it was about a foot and a half, he actually had peel and stick solar panels that fit in between those ridges, and you couldn't even tell that they were up there.
Really?
And incredible. And of course, the line of batteries that he had. So, I mean, you can go all out and can go completely off the grid if you want to.
You could go all out.
Yeah, between putting the batteries, the inverter, and all that stuff. But what about people that really kind of geek the house out and want to add a wind turbine? Can they do that too? Or is that something people do down here or not?
I
it's like some people are like, well, it's a cloudy day, and I still got the wind turbine up there. Or is that a northern thing?
That's probably a northern
thing. Yeah. Probably a northern thing.
I've seen it up there.
Probably more of a northern thing.
Yeah, the snow gets on the... You know, I hate it down here when the snow gets on the roof.
I'll tell you what, snow gets on the roof down here, we're in trouble. All right, snow gets on the roof down here, it's time to go a little bit more south.
I've seen where they've added a wind turbine, too. There's people that go the whole hog on the whole thing, you know?
You know what? That's a very good question that I need to get the answer to, because you just stumped me.
It is. It's great when you can actually sell your power back.
That's, you know, that's great when you own. Owning anything, okay, is better than renting it. Anything you do, anytime. When you go solar, you know, you own your energy.
Yep.
You own your energy.
It's part of your house, too.
It's part of your house. It builds value in your home.
It is.
Okay, it does build value in your home. When you go to sell your home, you think about this, okay? If you're buying your home and you have a home right there with no electric cost, your electric's included, okay, sign me up. I'll take two.
Yeah.
You know, so it definitely builds value. There's a huge benefit in doing so. The look, today's technology and so on, the look is sleek. It's nice. Mm-hmm. Yeah. You know, with the panels that we provide, it's a classy look, not a bulky, tacky look.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, it really is.
Yeah, they do look nice and
they do.
Attractive. And boy, if you're looking for a home and you have two houses next to each other and one has the panels and one doesn't, you know which one you're going to take.
If you have, you know, one with your electricity paid for, the other where you have to pay $250, $300.
And who knows where it's going.
Who knows exactly.
It's getting worse
when
and worse.
When you can fix today's cost, when you could fix your cost on your energy for the next 25 to 30 years, okay, and not have to worry about inflation or any of that, you know, it's really a no-brainer.
Exactly.
For a lot.
Well, those are good questions, Ed, because I hadn't thought about that. I hadn't, you're right. I had, having never actually physically been near a panel, so I did know from the olden days that they were very heavy. And that's why I asked you the question about the roof. Could a roof hold it? Because I think there was a question in the old days. You know, a roof might not have been strong enough, but today that doesn't pose a problem.
Today we have no problem. With the technology today, the panels are no problem for the roof, you know, with the racking systems and so on.
And it's good that you are, you know, really working to do things in North America?
We're working to keep things in North, keep the business in North America, keep it, you know, in our home. Absolutely. I think that's a lot of customers love that concept. We have really, you know, depending on what the customer needs, we have, you could do the LG, you could do the Qcell. I mean, but we focus on the Silfab panel pound for pound. We believe it's, you know, the best panel you could buy today with the warranties that are provided. Our warranties are second to none.
And what? Explain this tax thing one more time.
The tax credit, I mean, the 26%, you know, if you're considering going solar and you're thinking about it, the time is now. Why? Because in 2021, you know, the government's offering that 26% federal tax credit. So, you know, on whatever the figure is, you know, you're getting 26% of that back over the next, you know, we're timing is perfect right now because, you know, we have an 18-month promotion to where we give you a promo payment and give you time to take that tax credit and if you dump it back into the loan, great. If you do something else with it, great. You have options. But 26% coming back to your tax season is a lot of money.
Wow, it is.
You know? It is.
Okay, so how do people contact EHS? How do they contact you?
Well, they contact me. You can contact EHS at any time. You know, goehs.com is the website for EHS, goehs.com. You can contact me at, you can reach me on the phone at any time. I'm willing to give my phone number out on air.
Sure.
203-252-0450 is my cell phone number. My company email is Grover, Grover, at goehs.com, goehs.com.
Okay, well, people, contact EHS and get start saving money. That's what we all need to do. I want to thank you so much, Ryan, for coming in today. It's been a joy,
Patsy,
to meet
thank you so much.
And to have you here. And I share your enthusiasm for the company and for the work that you guys are doing.
I really appreciate it. It's been a privilege and an honor to come in here. Thank you so very much
and
for the time.
I'll tell you, he's a man after my own heart. He brought in coffee. Now, I'm telling you, I am a Finlander.
Okay.
And I live on coffee. And so... So, you know, he's perfect.
I'm half Italian. My mother raised me. You know, when you come as a guest, you don't come empty-handed.
Wonderful. Really wonderful, wonderful people.
Thank you so very much.
Ryan, you are just great.
Thank you, Patsy.
I love your enthusiasm.
Thank you so very much. I appreciate you very much.
Okay. Well, bye-bye now. And we'll have you back again in a couple months. You can come back and tell us some more. Okay?
I would love to.
Okay.
Great. Take care.
Okay.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Are you ready to eliminate your home energy bill? Well, get ready to harness the sun. Go EHS, Effective Solar Solutions, by Efficient Home Services. With no upfront costs, you can save money on your utility bill and even eliminate your electric bill altogether with EHS Solar. Call EHS, the number one solar installer nationwide. We know how to customize your home. EHS handles every project in-house with no subcontractors. Remember, no upfront costs, tax breaks, and the best company in the business, Efficient Home Services. Schedule an appointment today at 727-353-3757. Visit our website and download your free buyer's guide to going solar at www.goehs.com. Go solar, go savings, go EHS. Call 727-353-3757 today to talk to our experts.
Are you an author, an artist, an inventor? Then you need to protect your valuable intellectual property. You need Larson & Larson. We have the experience and knowledge to help you with all of your legal needs, from processing trademark, copyright, or patent applications, to negotiating licensing agreements and handling litigation. The attorneys at Larson & Larson in Largo, Florida can help protect you. Call us today for a no-cost consultation at 727-546-0660 or visit our website at LarsonPatentLaw.com.
Do you dread being called on to speak at meetings or family functions? Have you envied those who can sway an audience with well-chosen words? Do you know that people who speak well earn more money, earn more rewarding careers? Gain the confidence to master any speaking situation. Toastmasters will allow you to find your voice. Go to Toastmasters.org to locate the club nearest you.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Hi, this is Patsy with a Z, and I am back, and in a minute, I'm going to be talking to my next guest, but before I do, I want again thank my previous guest. He brought in coffee, and I can tell you, he didn't understand how much I needed this coffee. You can hear my voice is a little grovelly. I love people who bring me coffee. But now I want to welcome to Joy on Paper an author who's, as a matter of fact, it was wonderful. I got an email from my favorite publicist, and she said, well, I think, Patsy, you really should interview the next author, and her name is A.M. Justice, about a fascinating book. And I thought, well, you know, I didn't know about A.M. Justice, and then I got the request, and I see the book. The book cover is quite amazing. So I want to welcome to Joy on Paper A.M. Justice. And A.M. Justice, what am I supposed to call you?
You can call me Amanda, Patsy. So that's my name, and I'll stick with that.
Okay, Amanda, because A.M., well, I'm on A.M. radio.
So. Right. Yeah, I joke with everybody. That is, AM Justice is my real name. Those are my real initials, and Justice is my my real last name. And I joke with everyone that I really probably should be writing either westerns or detective fiction with that name, but I write in the science fiction and fantasy realm instead.
Oh, wow. Okay. I don't know where to start with you. First of all, I want to say that the cover is of your book, A Wizard's Forge, mm-hmm. is quite amazing.
Thank you.
I'm looking at it right now, and I'm thinking, I've never seen a cover quite like that. It's beautiful.
It is. The cover designer is a man named Stephen Meyer Rousseau, and he does really incredible work. It was he's a photographer, and then he does a lot of like layering to add in all the sort of special effects that you see in the cover. But it is pretty extraordinary, and it's kind of like the cover that I dreamed of having when I first started thinking about like what I would like the book to actually look like when it came out. It pretty much perfectly captures the sort of metaphor of the book, which is about forging your destiny out of the ashes of trauma. So that's why the person, the lady's hair is on fire.
Well, now I'll have you explain the book, because okay. It's very fascinating. It's sci-fi fantasy.
Mm-hmm.
Why did you decide to go that direction? What was your interest in sci-fi for years, or?
Yeah. The origins of this book really date back to the things that I enjoyed when I was a kid. Science fiction and sort of books that bridge the gap between science fiction and fantasy. An example is Anne McCaffrey's Pern series that was written back in the 1970s. And another example that, you know, everybody is aware of right now is Frank Herbert's Dune. So he wrote the book in, I think, the late 1960s or early 1970s. And, you know, the new film that's coming out and opening in a couple of weeks looks fantastic. Looks like it really captured it well. But what interested me about those types of books is that they sort of, in many ways, they present a fantasy world in a science fiction setting. So, for instance, Dune and also Star Wars, they have space wizards in them. And in Dune, it's this group of women called the Bene Gesserit. And, of course, everybody knows the Jedi from Star Wars. So the magical powers in my book are sort of similar to the magical powers that appear in those books. And my book is also it's a science fiction setting in that it takes place on another planet, and it's the settler, the protagonists are all descendants of the settlers of this planet, human settlers of this planet, who got stranded there thousands of years before.
So you had some real world building to do.
Mm-hmm.
I noticed that you have a map, and I particularly love books that have maps in them.
Oh yeah, I do too. The sequel actually has a bunch of maps, because there's more traveling around in the world and stuff. And on my website, people can go and they can actually, I have an interactive map on my website, so, which is fun. People can click on different elements on the map and check out more information about the world or read excerpts from the book.
Okay, well, tell us about your main character and where she comes from and how you developed her.
Well, Vic is a young woman, and she is actually, in the beginning of the novel, unfortunately for her, she's kidnapped from her homeland and sold into slavery. And that sort of begins her journey of eventually revenge and empowerment. But she's the kind of person, she's really tough on the outside, but her experiences as a slave really shattered her on the inside. because she carries a lot of shame for what she sees as her own capitulation. And letting herself be broken while she was in captivity. She does escape captivity, as the book, you know, about a quarter of the way into the novel, she escapes. And then she spends the rest of the book trying to get over her experiences and also get revenge against the person who abused her while she was in his household.
So... When you explain what exactly she's going to be going through in this book.
Well, you know, she is quite young in the beginning, and so there's a very discomforting experience and traumatic experiences that she has as a slave that she then has to overcome once she's escaped. And part of that process is that she gets adopted by the enemies of the person who was her master. And she gets adopted into their household, and they are actually good people, and they take care of her help her. But they also push her into becoming a warrior. It's a royal family that she gets adopted into, and she becomes sort of a tool and a weapon in their effort to defeat the person who was her former master. And so she really has to struggle with issues of trust for people and also self-reliance. And a lot of it is, the story is about her rebuilding herself from a person who is broken early at a young age and then carries that trauma through into her early 20s and really has to overcome a lot of her past, but it is a journey of empowerment. She is literally empowered, as in the sense that she gains these magical abilities by the end of the novel and actually becomes somebody who is capable of defeating the villain who mistreated her at the beginning of the book.
Now, okay, let's go back. You have, so this was the first book.
Yes.
And then there's the second book is The Wizard's, A Wizard's Sacrifice, correct?
Correct. Yes, that's right.
So what was it? Well, first of all, how long did it take you to write the first book?
That's a funny question because it's sort of one of those questions that, as an author, you're like, well, should I be embarrassed by this? But I actually wrote the first draft of this book when I was a teenager, and I am a middle-aged person now. So that was quite a while ago. But it has undergone numerous revisions and redrafts, and it was such a good story. It's the type of book that maybe other authors would have put it in the drawer and, you know, called it their trunk novel, but I really couldn't let go of the story. I really had faith in it. I loved the characters. And so I basically just kept working on it until it was something that I felt proud of and then could release. So
when was that released?
Wizard's Forge was released in 2016, and Wizard's Sacrifice came out last year, 2020.
Are there going to be more in the series?
There is a third novel that's set about 20 years later, and I'm sort of struggling with that a little bit. So it's in the works, but I don't have a date for when it will be ready.
So right now, I think, you know, you're on sort of a new kind of publicity tour, trying to really come. You know, sometimes when a book, you know, is printed, you know, 3 years ago or 4 years, people just drop it. They don't continue with publicity. But you're right out there trying to really interest people in both mm-hmm. books. Mm-hmm. I like that you're committed and that you believe in your story. I just had an author on a few weeks ago. Anna David, and she had written a book 14 years ago called Party mm-hmm. Girl, and mm-hmm. it was a flop. The sales were terrible. She went through hell because the company that was that published it sort of collapsed, and they were bought and rebought, and the person involved in the initial, you know, release disappeared. And when they finally released it, although it's a, sort of a chick flick kind of book, it was listed as sci-fi. So naturally, it didn't sell anything, you know?
Oh, no.
And so she had to work for 14 years to get the rights back. Mm. And just a few weeks ago, she released it, re-released it, under her own imprint. Just she did a publishing company so she could release it herself. And she just got a movie deal.
Wow.
Yes.
What a great story.
And what a great story. And the funny thing is, the company, she was published by a major publisher, and she was begging them for years and years, give it back to me. You don't want it. Just give it back to me. But, you know, they just put it off the burner. They didn't bother to answer her. And she was ready to just publish it herself. And not wait for a release. Finally, after 14 years, they gave her a release. And the next day, she published the book. And a few days later, she gets a movie deal. So you can imagine, again, you have a passion for your story and something you want to tell. And I think it's great that you're coming out. Now, you know, your book wasn't released today. So often, people I'm talking to, it is their pub day. That's it. And in this business, you normally have those 2 weeks or 3 weeks maximum to get out there and publicize your book. And that's it. And it's gone. So I admire somebody who believes in their work and is willing to go out there and continue. And now, particularly nowadays, it's difficult to gain attention. What are some of the ways that you're getting out there? In addition to doing interviews like this, are you involved in events, some of the events that are going on in the world of fantasy? Because they do have a lot of fantasy events normally.
Yeah, you know, the pandemic really threw a wrench into live events like Comic-Cons and stuff are big places for fantasy authors to go, and there are a lot of fantasy conventions, but and I was actually just starting to begin to go to those types of events, and then the pandemic came along, and part of the reason why I'm doing an effort like this is because you know, to be honest, the second book came out last year, it really didn't do as well as I'd hoped, and I felt like, you know, maybe I need to like look at other ways to get out there. But I have done some virtual conventions, and those are a lot of fun. I became, you know, really involved in one of them that started in 2020 because that there weren't any live conventions going on, and it, you know, that's an important place for fantasy authors to connect with readers and so forth. And I think that it's also, in the case of my story, part of the what I'm trying to do is also bring it to a broader audience. So people who maybe don't always, you know, when they first walk into a bookstore, they don't necessarily choose to go straight to the sci-fi and fantasy section, but, you know, maybe browse more in the regular literature section. And I think that the message of my story is sort of would be appealing to a pretty broad set of people because, you know, everybody's got struggles in their life, and it's nice, you know, it's sort of good to have a story where somebody really goes through something terrible and finds a way to break out of it, so and heal.
Well, you know, as I said, first of all, when you released a book last year, it was sort of in the midst of, you know, so many bad things happening and people not being able to concentrate and just the whole horrendous market and just our natures. Everybody was like all over the place. But now this year, now with this resurgence of your publicity and reaching out and trying to get more reviews, which can help if you can get the right reviews and get people interested in really pushing your book forward.
I think that's important. Every author at some point wants to, you know, bottom line is you want people to read your book, and hopefully they'll love it, or at least like it and enjoy it and for what it is. And I think that's every author, you know, does whatever they can to try to find as many readers as they can. And in the current publishing climate, there are, I'm a self-published author, and I'm pretty active in the self-published community. And, you know, there are a lot of advantages to going that route, but there are also a lot of disadvantages and one of the biggest disadvantages is that you have no support for marketing other than your own ingenuity. And on the other hand, I know a fair number of traditionally published authors whose books have been released by major publishers who also don't get a whole heck of a lot of support from their companies. So, you know, if you're a mid-list author with a major publisher, you don't really get very much marketing help beyond what I as a self-published author do. So, you know, it's just for all authors at all levels of publishing, except for, you know, the super top tier bestsellers. So, you know, and from a publisher's perspective, you know, obviously you want to invest in the author who you know is going to make a profit for you. So it's kind of a struggle for I'm sure on the editorial desk, I'm sure acquisitions editors, when they find an author that they really believe in, but they're a brand new author, unknown, and they're with no track record, I'm sure it can be challenging for those editors to make the case that this author deserves, you know, X amount of support versus some other author who, you know, maybe isn't quite as marketable. So it's a challenging situation all the way around in the industry.
It is. It is very challenging. On the other hand, you have two books here that are intriguing, that offer potential. And if you never know, you know, that's why you cannot give up. An author cannot give up. And I admire that, just like Anna David did not give up on Party Girl. She believed in that book for 14 years and was, you know, had no hope. Most people would have given it up. And look what happened with her. So you never know when you do these promotions and you try to get out there, reach the right people. Perhaps it will be at one of these events now, maybe Zoom, but maybe in the future that you will actually be able to go to some of them. And if I were you, I would... I would have a poster of the cover blown up, you know, life size, because it's so eye catching.
Oh,
and
thank you. Yeah,
and really be standing next to it and say, "Look, read this book." It would make a wonderful streaming video. So, you know, and you just might capture the eye of somebody like that who will see. You know, see the potential, and you never know. But you don't know. People, this is what I'm telling people, you don't know unless you keep trying. And my husband had a word. He was not American. He was foreign. And he used to, he spoke English perfectly. He only missed one word that he, over and over, for years, he just could not pronounce it right. He'd say, determined. And he would always say, you have to be determined. And I loved it. And I never wanted to correct him simply because I loved it so much. But you do have to be determined. You really do. Mm-hmm. And if you want to succeed, you have to be determined and get out there and just keep doing exactly what you're doing. So tell us, your website. How can people see more about you? And I think you have mm-hmm. excerpts on your website of your books, right?
Yes, I do. So my website is amjusticeauthor.com. And there, as I mentioned earlier, there's an interactive map on there, so you can sort of scoot around the world of known Earth, as it's called, and check out all the different places that the main character, her name is Vic, goes, and the things that she does. There are also excerpts of different chapters from the book, from both books, available on my website, and you can buy the book directly from my website or from Amazon or other major retailers. But if you want a signed copy, you can buy the book directly from my website and get a signed copy for. So.
Okay. Well, I just want to compliment you on being determined and getting out there and just keep pushing. That's what you have to do, and particularly in these days when it's more difficult. But I'm very happy that you came on the program today, Amanda, and I'm happy that you have a possibility. You never know when it's going to just hit right and take off. And so, again, thank you so much for being on Joy on Paper today. And suppose you're on Facebook and all of that stuff, too.
Yes, I am. Yeah, thanks so much, Patsy, for having me. It was really fun.
Okay, it's been a joy to talk to you. Take care now.
You too.
Okay, bye-bye. Okay, let's play Jim Lem's little book promo because we want to get him some sales here. This is wonderful. His book is, you need a laugh. It's funny to laugh at Vietnam, but he does write about scrubbing floors. And I think a guy should learn how to scrub floors. That's my opinion.
50 years ago, Jim Lam left Vietnam after serving in the Navy, where he fixed radios, played ping pong, and swept floors. Jim wrote about his time in the service in Orange Socks and Other Colorful Tales, the story of how he survived Vietnam and kept his sense of humor. The book is available on Amazon. Just type in Orange Socks and Other Colorful Tales. You can also visit his website at www.jslstories.com.
Okay, thank you, Jim Lam, for that. And next on the next program next week, we're going to play one of his wonderful, wonderful literary gems, and it's about conflict. So I'm looking forward to that. But I hope you don't have any conflicts this weekend. Everybody, just chill out. Enjoy the weather. It is gorgeous here in Florida. And remember what I always tell you. One of the joys of life is to see your words on paper or to hear them spoken in an audible book. Or if you're very, very lucky, to hear those magic words, lights, camera, action, and your book will be turned into a streaming video, a major motion picture, or if you're very lucky, like I'm hoping for Carol J. Perry, a series on the Hallmark Channel. And I want to see which city mystery's there because I need something new to watch. Oh, please, oh, please. And say something nice to somebody today, and I will say something nice to Big Ed. Thank you, Ed, for jumping in that conversation with EHS. And everybody, go EHS. Get solar. Save money. Okay. He saluted me, too, and I'm saluting him. Bye-bye, everybody.
WTAN Clearwater
FM 106.1
WDCF Dade City
FM